Amen. Wow. Thank you, team. Thank you, young people. What a joy to have y'all being a part of our worship service and helping lead us in worship. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm beyond proud to be a part of a church that celebrates our young people and supports them like we do. And I appreciate Lacey and her team and all that they do. You know, we just sang that song. You know, the reason that people around the globe that are going through persecution can have hope and joy and peace in their hearts, no matter the horrible things they're facing, it's because of that wonderful promise that Jesus gave them, that He would never leave them. He would never forsake them. Amen? And as we think about folks around the world who face persecution just for believing in Jesus and wanting to share their faith, you know, today we're going to look back at the New Testament church and how they were persecuted and scattered all over the known world. And in fact, they were faithful to share their faith even under persecution. And after being scattered everywhere, they just kept telling people about Jesus. And that's evidenced by the fact that you and I are here today, because we're a result of their sharing the gospel. Thank God for their faithfulness. Amen? And I want us to pray, and we're going to discover the means by which those early Christians preached the gospel, the good news of Jesus, with the world, reaching all the way down to Slidell, Louisiana, right here on the eve of 2024. Let's pray. Sweet Jesus, thank you for what you did for us on the old rugged cross, because you suffered and the persecution and the ridicule and all of the pain and were crucified, Lord. You took our sin. You bore our sin. You purchased our salvation, but you didn't stay in that grave. And because you walked out of that grave and you walked out of that shadowy place, Lord, we know that we too, when we accept you as our Lord and Savior, we walk away from the tomb of sin. And we walk away from the power of sin. And we walk into your glorious light. And no matter what this old world throws at us, we know that we have the promise of eternal life. And we thank you for that. And so today, I just ask that you would hide me behind the cross, anoint the words that are spoken, that I'd just be an instrument in your hands. Father God, that you would be with those who are hurting, those who have great needs, those who are struggling with physical things and mental things and emotional things and spiritual things. And Lord God, we love you and we thank you that you hear our prayers. We pray believing in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas. And looking forward to this new year and just serving the Lord and seeing what God has in store for us. Amen. And we're going to read our text for today, and it's found in Acts chapter 8, beginning with verse 1 and going through verse 4. So if you want to grab your Bibles and go ahead, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then there's Acts. All right, go ahead and get over there to chapter 8. And I preached a message for Andrew on this subject, or on this text, when he was sick a few Sundays ago. I'm glad to see you back in the land of living, brother. Amen. And good worship this morning. Today we're going to focus on verse 4, using passages of scriptures written after the church was scattered because of the persecution. All right? But we're going to use this verse 4 as our kind of our foundation. And our text starts with the horrible act of persecution, the stoning of Stephen, which we heard a good message on a few weeks back by Eddie. Our writer Luke tells us in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, "And Saul was there, giving approval to his death. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church at Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him. But Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off men and women and put them in prison. And those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went." And we're going to focus on that last verse. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Now, those who had been scattered, it says, were all except the apostles. And those who had been scattered were the people of the New Testament church. And it says that they preached the word wherever they went, wherever they were scattered to, wherever their new location was. In other words, it was not just the preachers who preached, but the people. Yeah. So just what does it mean to preach? Where does that word even come from? According to the Online Etymology Dictionary, it originates from the Latin word meaning to proclaim publicly or to announce. And according to the Lexham Bible Dictionary, preaching is the act of proclaiming a theological message, generally involves the conveyance of some truth related to God or Scripture with inherent significance to the audience from whom the act is being done. And that's what I hope and pray every week, that it's something that will have meaning and application in your lives, right? Watch this. And I love the way the Holman Bible Dictionary defines preaching. Human presentation through the Holy Spirit's power of God's acts of salvation through Jesus Christ. True Christian preaching interprets the meaning of God's acts into contemporary context. Watch this. A sermon becomes God's word to us only as God's servant reconstitutes the past realities of the biblical revelation into vital present experience. In other words, it's got to be applicable to our lives. And now, those are technical definitions of preaching, and they are good, they are true. But there's some other ways to break it down and explain what preaching is. And we have some young scholars with us today who Lacey interviewed to get their opinion. And so we're going to hear from some of them on their definition of a preacher. Here we go.
A preacher is someone who does like what Pastor Larry does.
A preacher is someone who tells like speeches out loud to people. Like, it says Bible verses and tells them all about God and all that stuff.
I mean, first of all, my dad doesn't.
A preacher is someone who preaches, and to preach means you pray, you preach.
Pastor Larry, like someone who tells about Jesus.
Pastor Larry.
Forgot who Pastor Larry was.
The one with the white beard. Learn about God. Something that talks about God.
A preacher is somebody who goes to a church, or can be anybody, who talks about God and helps share the gospel and like verses and stuff like that.
That he is our church to learn people.
Bring people about the gospel of God and about what he has done for us.
Like, it's hard to say what you mean to say sometimes, but as long as you get to say it and people understand, then I guess that's called preaching, if you want to call it that.
Memorize what you're teaching about and tell everyone about God.
Wow. I'm so proud of our kids and their love for Jesus. Amen. And we're gonna hear from them three more times in our message today. But as they shared their thoughts on the definition of a preacher, it begs the question, how do people preach if they are not preachers? But that's what happened in our story today. Those who were not professional preachers, or preachers who preached to make a living, preached by the way they were living. So let me say it again. Those who didn't preach to make a living preached by the way they were living. And I want to say this. If a person only preaches to make a living and they don't live what they preach, there's a major problem with that. And one of the reasons some people in the world don't want to have anything to do with church is because they've only witnessed hypocrisy. Now, let me be quick to say it again. As I've said recently, there are no perfect preachers. But if a preacher is not genuinely trying to practice what he preaches, that's just wrong. And God won't bless that kind of preaching. Amen? So, let me get off my soapbox and say this. The ordinary people of God who were scattered because of persecution preached the good news of Jesus everywhere they went with their lives. And how did they do that? I want you to watch this, okay? They preached with their attitude, their words, their actions, and their legacy. If you were a Christian, you ready for this? You preach a sermon every day. Question is it a good sermon or a bad sermon? Is it helpful or hurtful? What makes it good or bad? And to figure this out, we have to zoom in and examine what inspires your sermon. And that's what makes it good or bad. And I want us to look at a chart that may help explain what I'm trying to say. All right? So your relationship with God equals the condition of your heart. The condition of your heart equals the condition of your mind. The condition of your mind equals the consequent attitudes. And the consequent attitudes equals the resultant words and actions. And the resultant words and actions equal your legacy, your spiritual legacy. So we must understand how important our relationship is with God when it comes to our life's message. If we want what we preach with our lives to be good and even awesome, we must realize just how vital our personal relationship with God is. Not just that we've accepted Him as our Savior way back when, and He's our God and we're His child or His children, but that our relationship with Him is where it needs to be on a daily basis. In other words, our fellowship with God must be up to date and fresh and alive and not stagnant, and it should be ever growing. Can I hear an amen to that? I mean, we need that, and the reason is this. Our ongoing relationship with God affects the condition of our heart. And our heart affects the condition of our mind, and our mind affects the kind of attitudes that we have. And in case you didn't know it, your attitude, good or bad, impacts the resultant words and actions that you say and do. So let me say a quick word about the importance of having a heart that is right with God and in constant fellowship with God, all right? This walk with God should be the inspiration behind your life's message and the motivation for what you preach with your life's attitudes, words, actions, and legacy, all right? Your walk with God is the inspiration behind what you preach. Your walk with God is the inspiration behind what you preach. The psalmist spoke these powerful words. He said, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord." I love this. "Blessed are those who keep His statutes and seek Him with all their" what? "Heart." And I love this verse that's found in a song in Isaiah 26. It says, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in You. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Himself is the rock eternal." And in the Old King James Version, it says this, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee because he trusteth in Thee." So the bottom line is this, if you want a steadfast mind, you need to keep your mind stayed, fixed, and focused on the Lord God Almighty. That's good advice for 2024. Remember, our theme for this whole series is focus on what matters. And I love what the psalmist went on to say in Psalm 119, verse 5. "Oh, that my ways were steadfast in obeying your decrees. Then I would not be put to shame when I consider all of your commands. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. I will obey your decrees. Do not utterly forsake me." How can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. "I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word" where? "In my heart, that I might not sin against you." That's memorizing and studying scripture and getting it deep down into your heart and mind. Do we have that kind of passion and desire to fellowship with God and to bring glory to God? Our fellowship with God, whether good or bad, affects our minds because it determines what we allow into our minds through our eyes and our ears, and how that goes on to affect everything else in our lives. Folks, think about that in this new year. What are you allowing in? There's an old saying, garbage in, garbage out. Our attitudes, our words, our actions, our relationships with others, and our legacy are all dependent on how our heart is and our mind and our walk with God. And let me say this, you can have the right theology, the right doctrine, and the right truth, but if your heart's not right and you have no integrity and no genuine love for God and others, then your message will fall on deaf ears, because what you're doing will speak so loudly your words will not be heard, no matter how true they are, or they will be outright rejected. In other words, for our life's message to be good, it must flow out of a strong relationship with God, so we can preach it with attitude. Preach it with attitude. And when I say attitude, I mean a Christ-like attitude, folks. And not a condescending, I'm better than you, or judgmental attitude, but a humble, I truly care about you attitude. And I love what our kids' answers to the question of what does it take to be a preacher tells us about what our attitude should be. All right, check it out.
To be a preacher, you have to, number one, know God. Number two, you have to be kind. Number three, you can't be harsh.
A lot of work to memorize, because they usually say a lot, so it takes at least a week or two to memorize that whole chapter.
Do something special, be kind.
He does say be kind.
Make my bed, maybe.
I think to be a preacher, most importantly, you have to believe in God, but you also have to believe that He died for our sins, and you have to be able to memorize verses so you can share the gospel with people.
Work hard. Talk about God.
It takes to be a preacher. You have to read the entire Bible, to my feeling, and then you probably have to go in front of the stage for a first time, or the first time, being nervous until you get used to all those people in front of you.
For you to be nice to other people.
Try to understand God when He's talking to you.
Maybe some confidence to get up and preach all in front of these large group of people.
To know about God to be a preacher.
Well, maybe that you have to go to chapel to learn how to preach.
You have to believe in Jesus, and you have to, know a lot about the Bible. You have to work.
It would take a lot of courage and bravery, because sometimes I get nervous when I speak in front of people.
You would have to learn a lot about God to spread it.
You have to believe that He died on the cross for you.
And it has more stories of in the Bible.
You've got to know Him and be a Christian.
There you go. That's right. Yes. So good. You know, being kind and not harsh, talking about God, believing in God, being nice to other people, you know, knowing the Word of God. Paul put it this way in Ephesians 4:17. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Watch this. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of Him and were taught in Him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And he also said over in Philippians 2:5, I love this, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. And what was Jesus' attitude? Well, you know, John Maxwell put it this way in his book called The Winning Attitude. Jesus was selfless. He put others before himself. Jesus was secure. He had nothing to prove. He was submissive. He submitted to the Father's will. And he was sure. He knew his purpose to seek and to save that which is lost, to bring honor and glory to the Father. And Maxwell went on to make these extremely important observations. He said, our attitude determines our approach to life. Yeah, buddy. Our attitude determines our relationship with people. Our attitude is the major difference between success and failure. Our attitude at the beginning of a task will affect its outcome more than anything else. Our attitude can turn our problems into blessings. Think of David and Goliath. Our attitude is not automatically good just because we're Christians. And Maxwell then talked about things that affect our attitude, which he called attitude effectors. You ready for this? Your personality, your environment, family, jobs, finances, your self-image, your image in the eyes of others. Those are all attitude effectors. Your peers, who you hang out with is important. Young people, think about that. And I've added this very important attitude effector, your walk with God. Man, I can't think of anything more important for my attitude during the day. Have I walked with God? Have I spent time with the Lord? And so, which we saw in our chart, you see, God is your most important peer. He's the one you should be hanging out with more than anyone else. Why? For our message to be good, it must flow out of a strong relationship with God so that we can preach it with words, not just with attitude, but with words. What we say is important. And the kids had some important thoughts on this. If you were a preacher, what would you tell them? All right, so here we go.
I would tell people about God by telling them that God died on the cross for us.
I don't think there's ever going to be a time where I'm just going to stand up and be like, y'all know what? I'm going to preach.
I'll tell people about the one and only Jesus and our God and tell them how they died on the cross. And tell them all about how Jesus was born.
It's important for people to know about God, so like if they're in a really tough situation, they know that God is with them.
Does telling people that God backwards is dog count?
I would tell them to never stop believing in God.
Because Jesus is very, very special because he loves everybody in the world.
Get your Bible out because it's time to talk about Jesus.
If there's someone new that doesn't know God, then I'll just tell them, hey, God loves you and you should know that.
That I know their name. I love you.
That God loves you and he really wants you to be like him, try to be like him, or just try to be good and just try to listen to God.
About Jesus.
He died on the cross for our soul.
I thought God did.
About God and Jesus.
About why Jesus died on the cross for you.
You're gonna be learning about God today.
Yay. Say, God loves you and God loves everybody.
I had a friend that, they were having a hard time till I told them this scripture verse.
I keep talking and then they're just like, cool. And they're like, whatever. And then I'm like, nice talk.
Like they say something and I'm like, oh, well, did you know like Jesus Christ died for your sins and they are just, and you can repent and you can enter the kingdom of heaven.
I said, do you know Jesus? And they said, no, who is that? Jesus died on the cross and he came to be our savior.
One time I was with my friend and they were going through a tough time. So I told them God is always with them even when you feel like you're alone. So it's going to be okay. And I read a few Bible verses to her.
Wow. Amen. Wow, such good wisdom. Paul went on to say this in 1 Corinthians. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The psalmist said this, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer." And the writer of Proverbs put it this way. He said, "My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to a man's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Put away perversity from your mouth. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen well to my words of insight, that you may maintain discretion and your lips may preserve knowledge. You know, folks, words can tear down or words can build up. Parents, think about it. Young people, think about it. People hear what you say. What are you saying? Where are you getting the words you speak? What do you base the sermon of your life on? If it's not based on the unchanging truth of God's word, then it will be a confusing message. If it's not based on biblical principles, then it won't stand up under the scrutiny of the microscope. And trust me, when you preach, there is a microscope. Did you know that? And your kids, parents, will use the microscope when they get to be teenagers. And sometimes maybe way before then. They will point out microscopic discrepancies and flaws in your message in life. Has anybody ever had that experience? Oh boy. But Dad, but Mom, you said, yeah, right. Of course, there's no such thing as a perfect parent. Parents deserve some grace. But if your life's message is not based on God's truth, then your authority simply falls to the level of man's opinion. And everybody's got opinions these days. As parents and as Christians, we need something greater than our personal opinion to base our message on. Why base our message on the Bible? Paul tells us in 2 Timothy, you ready? "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Now, I must remind you that for our message to be good, it must flow out of a strong relationship with God so that we can preach it with actions. James put it this way, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." Hear this. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, "Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed," but does nothing about the physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, folks, he's not saying that we're saved by our good works, but he's saying if we have saving faith in Jesus, it will influence what we will and won't do. Again, none of us are perfect. But we must understand that our actions really do have a powerful influence, good or bad. And let me illustrate. All right, hold your right hand up if you would. All right, like this. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to touch your chin. Okay. All right, how many of you touched your nose? Be honest. How many of you touched your chin? A few more. Okay, you guys did pretty good. Here's the point. A lot of times people will follow what you do more than what you say. So some of you followed what I did rather than what I said. All right? Are your actions speaking so loudly that people can't hear what you're saying? You remember the old saying, put your money where your mouth is? Walk your talk. Practice what you preach. You've heard the saying, monkey see, monkey do. That can be cute when little kids are little bitty and they try to do something they see someone else doing. But it's not cute when they get older and they copy really bad behaviors of the adults that they've been around. That's not cute anymore. Can get them in serious trouble. Here's a true statement. What is tolerated in one generation is embraced by the next generation and taken to extremes in the next generation. We're seeing that, folks. I remember thinking after the drug experiments of the 60s turned out so tragic and so many young people died, I thought, well, the next generation is going to learn from that and walk a different path. But they didn't. They followed. The drug problem in America has never been worse. When I was a teenager, my dad was in San Francisco on a work trip for the Army Corps of Engineers. He was staying in a 15-story hotel. There was a young man in the room next to him who was tripping out on LSD, jumped out the window. My dad told me, he said, son, evidently he thought he could fly. And my dad was so worried about me because of I was in my rebellion then. I hadn't met the Lord yet, and the friends I was hanging out with, he knew some of the things they were into. He went on to say this to me. He said, son, please be careful that you don't follow your friends into these things. I just care so much for you. You know what? I'm so thankful for the fact that my mom and dad lived what they preached. Again, there are no perfect parents, but my mom and dad, they didn't curse, they didn't smoke, they didn't drink, they didn't abuse drugs. I tried to catch them in stuff. I was like, surely, you know, my dad probably smokes at work. He just doesn't do it at home. And I remember checking his pockets one time in his lab coat. You know, he's probably got a cigarette in there somewhere because I was trying to find an excuse because I was wanting to do that stuff. But you know what? They lived what they preached. I was so frustrated, you know. They were and still are, thank God. I still have my parents. They're still God-loving, God-respecting folks that truly live what they believe. God knew that I needed strong examples or I would have never made it out of the teen years. In fact, this leads us to our final point for today. For our message to be good, it must flow out of a strong relationship with God so we can preach it with our legacy. Psalm 78:1 says, a maskil of Asaph, O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from old, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law of Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children, and then they would put their faith and trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. Folks, watch this. I can't take anything from this world with me when I leave here, but I can leave something behind. My legacy, the message of my life. What message will you leave behind? If your message has not been a good one, good news. It's not too late to let Christ inspire you to develop a new message. A message of truth, a message of hope, a message of life based on God's word. Now I'm going to let our children have the last word today because they have some powerful advice for us as they share how they would encourage others to preach. And if you need to pray with me or one of our counselors, I'll be right back here. We'll be back here in the back. Now listen to this good advice. And by the way, it's good advice for the new year. All right, kids, take it away.
I would tell them that everyone's like counting on them, even like their families or like somebody from home. They're all counting on you and then you can do this.
Be persistent and ask God for help.
You can do it, you just need to believe in God.
It's important for people to keep preaching because if we run out of preachers, then less and less people will be able to believe in God.
I love him. Do not give up.
God blesses you when you go everywhere.
Don't give up. It's, you have to talk about God.
Don't be scared to talk about God because make God happy and stuff.
Keep preaching no matter what.
Preach what you believe.
Jesus loves you.
I'll tell them that you don't need to be afraid.
I think it's important for people to preach because if there was no preacher, then we wouldn't know about God.
You're doing great. Keep going. And because as long as you're trying your best and telling the truth,
then you're doing something right.
You don't have to go in front of a big crowd. You only have to go in front of one person.
Be brave. Preach the good news.
Preach the good news.
Preach the good news.
Go preach it.